What comes to your mind as you hear the challenge to walk worthy? What does that mean to you, to walk worthy? There might be the thought of, yes, I want to. There might be the thought of, yes, I try to. There might be the thought of, I really don't. There might even be the thought of, I really can't. What is it that comes to your mind as you hear the phrase to walk worthy? In our previous message on Ephesians chapter 4, we began by reading chapter 4 and verse 1, and we began the exposition of verse 1 in that we only accomplished one thing. We expounded the word therefore. And you remember, as we expounded the word therefore, therefore means on the basis of what we have already said. And we saw the overview then of the book of Ephesians, in that before chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul had been talking about the doctrine of Christ and then about the experiencing of that doctrine. And he says, therefore, in other words, because of this doctrine of Christ that I've been telling you, and because of this personal experience of that doctrine, therefore, here come the practical applications of this doctrine that you have experienced. And so, beginning here in verse 1 of chapter 4, we have the practical section of the book of Ephesians. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing he said before this was practical, nor anything he says after this has any doctrine or experience in it, but the emphasis here changes. There is this progression in that the solid doctrinal content with the specific experiential emphasis has now passed into what does this all mean? How do we apply this? And so Paul begins this second section here, second half of the book, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, with the following words: I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you that you use it to meet the needs of our hearts as we desire to know your ways. Father, we pray that this portion this morning would meet the need of each heart present, whether it be of salvation, some perhaps this morning not knowing what it is to be gloriously converted, to know that new life in Jesus Christ, sins forgiven, entering into that relationship of a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that this morning any who are not converted would this day, this very morning, through the preaching of the Word of God, come to know that glorious redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Father, for your people, those who have entered into the family of God through faith in Christ, this would be helpful as we would begin to see how this experience of the doctrine applies to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Walking worthy. There are three things we'd like to notice in this verse regarding walking worthy. The first is, how important is it to walk worthy? Is it really important? And we see here, first of all, it is important because Paul beseeches them. Paul had other things that could have occupied his mind. He says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Paul was a prisoner in Rome. He was chained to a soldier 24 hours a day. He was not free to be able to go and to preach the gospel to the cities as he had done for many years. He was a prisoner. He could have felt sorry for himself. He could have spent his time explaining how difficult his situation was. But he set all that aside and he said, I have something that is so important that I must communicate to you, that I come beseeching you, exhorting you. The word is the same one used of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who is called alongside of for the purpose of exhorting and encouraging and pleading with. And so Paul says, although I'm a prisoner off here in Rome, in my spirit I come alongside of you to plead with you regarding a very important matter, to exhort you, to beseech you. And then he gives half of the epistle to this exhortation. And so if the concern with which Paul pleads, and then the amount of space that he gives to this pleading is any indication, this is very important. Chapters 1 through 3 include two different themes, the doctrinal basis and the importance then of that emotional relationship, that experiential relationship. And then the last half dedicated to the practical application. This is what he is beseeching them. And so the first half includes the doctrine and experience, but the last half is this exhortation to the worthy walk. And that shows us also the progression of thought in that this worthy walk is built upon the sound doctrine and the genuine experience. It is useless to proclaim a worthy walk if you are not also proclaiming first a sound doctrine and a genuine experience. And then on the other hand, this worthy walk is an evidence of the reality of this sound doctrine and this genuine experience. Because we are told, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so we see this is a very important section of Scripture. It is important to walk worthy. Now, the second thing we want to look at is, what does it mean to walk worthy? This is so important that Paul gave time to it. He besought them and gave half the book to it. What does it mean to walk worthy? Now, the word worthy means suitable or appropriate. It does not mean meritorious. Paul is not saying walk worthy in the standpoint of I am now worthy of Christ. That is not what it means. There's no merit involved. We never could merit a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no merit. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No merit involved in this relationship. To walk worthy does not mean that you are doing works that then cause you to deserve any of God's attention. It is not of works, lest any man should boast, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. And so this does not mean in any way that we walk to gain merit. Our walk is not meritorious. Rather, to walk worthy means to walk appropriately, appropriately before Him. And we see this also, for example, a few pages on in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come or to see you or am absent, I hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." That you walk as becometh the gospel of Christ. You walk appropriately to the gospel of Christ. Now, what is appropriate changes according to the kind of calling. And Paul says here, "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." And so, as Paul says, "I want you to walk worthy," we have to note, walk worthy of what? And he says, "I want you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Now, walking worthy of the calling then is definitely related to what the calling is. If you get a call about 9 o'clock at night and it's some of your friends, they say, "Can you come on over? We're just having a come-as-you-are party." You don't have to worry too much about what you're going to wear. You know, maybe you're in jeans and a sweatshirt, or maybe you came home from the office and you just pulled your tie off and you're casual, or just, it doesn't really matter. It's a come-as-you-are. In other words, the idea is it isn't important. This is just a get-together. However, if you received a call that said, we want to invite you to have dinner at the White House with the president, one of your concerns would be, what am I going to wear? Now, maybe the ladies a little bit more than the men. The men are usually not quite as... But even men might think, what should I wear? And so it would become very important what you would wear, because you would want to be appropriate. You would want to be dressed appropriately. And so the dress that you would wear and the etiquette that you would use, this would all become very a great concern to you because of the type of the calling. And so Paul says, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling." Now, if we are going to know then what does it mean to walk worthy, we have to know very clearly what's the nature of the call. And in Scripture, we have a lot of references to this calling. Since it affects what it means to walk appropriately, we need to look at some of these. For example, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so this is a high calling. And if we are to walk appropriately, we have to remember this is a high calling. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." And so the nature of our calling is that it is holy. And if I am to walk appropriately, I have to know this is a holy calling. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." It is a heavenly calling. And if I am to walk appropriately, I have to remember, mine is a heavenly calling. It's not an earthly calling. And so the appropriateness is related to the heavenliness of the calling. 1 Peter 2:9, "Who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light." We love these beautiful, sunshiny days. One of the problems that we are having is as the bright, glorious sunshine comes streaming in the windows, We see all the dust on the furniture. Now, on these dull, gray days, the house doesn't need dusting at all. But you get that bright sunshine, and you say, oh, I've got some work to do. And here we find that this calling is a glorious calling, and that we are called out of darkness, where you don't see any of the dust, into His marvelous light, where you see all the work you've got to do. And then just several others. This calling, 1 Corinthians 1:9, is a calling to fellowship with Christ. This is more than dinner at the White House. This is fellowship with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it is a calling unto holiness. It is a holy calling. Galatians 5:13, it is a calling unto liberty. Liberty, freedom, not a liberty to do what we want to do, but a liberty to do what we ought to do. It is a freedom not to sin, it is a freedom from sin. And so this is a calling unto liberty. 1 Corinthians 7:15 is a calling unto peace. Not to war, not to fight, it's a calling unto peace. It is a 2 Peter 1:3, it is a calling to glory and virtue. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14 and also 1 Peter 5:10, it is a calling to the eternal glory of Christ. And so these give us an idea of what this calling is like. 1 Timothy 1:12, it is a calling unto eternal life. So this is the kind of calling to which we've been called. And so if you know this morning that God by His Spirit has called you to Himself, and you are in Christ through faith in Jesus Christ, this is the kind of calling to which you've been called. And Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, to walk worthy of this calling. And so, when we see the glorious nature of our calling, we understand a little bit better what it means to walk appropriately. And so this isn't a matter of just setting our own standard. You know, I decided to join a church, and when I joined, I kind of had in my mind some of the things that I ought to straighten out in my life if I was going to be a good church member. And it isn't a matter that I just have some standard that I'm trying to reach, and you know, like a set of good resolutions on New Year's Day or something like that. We haven't struck a bargain with God, and we decided we're going to try to live up to our ideal. This is a calling. In fact, the very word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and it means called out ones. And so those who are members of the local body of believers, if they're genuine members, they are called out ones. God has called them out of sin, self, rebellion, called them unto Himself. And so this is a calling. And so the church is made up of called out ones, not joined up ones, but called out ones. And so we have been called, and it isn't a matter of our own standards, it's a matter of surrendering to His terms. And so Paul says, because of the nature of your glorious calling, walk worthy or walk appropriately. And then the third thing we see in this portion is, how are we able to walk worthy? It's important. We see just a little bit of what it is. But how are we able to walk worthy? Now, Paul gives us the answer in this verse. He said, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now notice there's a double emphasis here. He not only refers to their calling, but the calling with which they were called. And so there's this double emphasis upon this calling. And so when we talk about God's call, we aren't just building a doctrinal framework. This is what Paul did in chapters 1 through 3. He laid the doctrinal framework. But our purpose in discussing our calling in Jesus Christ is not just to fulfill our doctrinal framework. We talk about our calling in Jesus Christ because unless we are sure of our calling, we have no hope for our walk. The only basis on which we can walk worthy is if we have been called. Because the calling is the foundation for the walking. And so this is not just a doctrinal kick. This is the practical application. And so that calling wherewith you were called is the basis for walking appropriately to the gospel. In chapter 1 and verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. You say, well, that's doctrine. Right. But if you don't have that assurance in your heart that God has chosen you in Christ from before the foundation of the world and called you unto Himself, you can forget about trying to walk worthy. Because there is no power for walking worthy. If you don't have a glorious calling, you aren't going to have a glorious walking. Because the walking is based on the calling. It is just as hopeless for you to walk worthy as it was for you to be worthy. We saw that, didn't we? If you're saved this morning, there was a time in your life when you came to the realization, I can never be worthy of God's salvation. I could never be worthy of heaven. And you came to that place where you recognized that it is by grace that we are saved and not by works. That it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we threw away all hope of ever boasting, all hope of ever being worthy. And just as there was no hope of my ever being worthy, also there is no hope of my ever walking worthy. And just as my being worthy is found in Jesus Christ, and He is calling me out unto Himself, so also my walking worthy is only found in Jesus Christ, in that He now lives in me to fulfill His good pleasure. And so to the same degree that a person thinks that his salvation depended upon him rather than on God's call, so also he will think that his walking worthy depends on him rather than on God's power. And so without a heavenly call, there is no heavenly walk. Now, the power of our walk, then, is seen in our calling. Now, our calling in Scripture is compared, for example, to Lazarus being called forth from the tomb. You remember Lazarus died and his sisters sent for Jesus and said, Lazarus, whom you love, is dead. And Jesus went. And as they came near the tomb and they saw the tomb there, and the sisters were crying and Jesus wept. And then Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth from the tomb and they unwrapped his grave clothes. What a glorious experience that must have been to see God's power working that way. And that's a picture of our salvation, our conversion. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And Lazarus heard the voice of Jesus, and he got up and he walked out of that tomb. Isn't that what it says? "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them." He called him by name, Lazarus. He didn't say, "Is there anybody in there? Come on out." He says, "Lazarus, whom I love. Lazarus, come out. My sheep hear my voice." Lazarus heard his voice. He got up and he came out to a new life. So this is a picture of our conversion. Christ spoke. Lazarus heard his voice, got up and he walked out. Now Jesus didn't go in and pick Lazarus up and carry him out. Some people get carried away. Not meant to be a pun. Some people get carried away, you know. Well, it's all of God. Well, Jesus didn't go in and pick up Lazarus and carry him out. Jesus cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." Nor did Lazarus say, "You mean come forth? Don't you know I'm dead? I can't come forth." And we get ourselves all bent out of shape sometime and refuse to take Scripture for just what it says. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus heard his voice, and he got up and he came out. And that's the picture. Now, Lazarus getting up and coming out wasn't his own strength. We know that, don't we? It was an expression of the life, the power, the call of Jesus Christ. Lazarus, come forth. And so also, if you're saved this morning, you can say, "One day I heard the voice of Christ speaking to my heart, and I said, 'Yes, Lord.' And he filled my being with his glorious presence, and I had newness of life." That's the calling. Now, the calling is the basis for the walking. There's no walking without the calling. If you've not heard in your soul the voice of Christ speaking to you, convicting of you of your sin, bringing you to that place of recognizing your need of Him, hearing His voice, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest from this burden of sin that's upon you." If you've not heard the call of Christ and come to Him as Savior, there's no walking. Because that's the basis, that's the foundation. So, Paul says, "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." Now, interestingly enough, the word here, "called," is in the past tense. And it's the Greek aorist, which means an event that occurred in the past. It says, "You were called." Lazarus came out of that tomb. So the calling is one. It's unto life in Christ. But the word here for walk, that you would walk worthy, that's in the present tense. That means every day. And so we could translate this, "I beseech you to continually, day by day, be walking appropriately to that calling wherewith you were at that specific time that you recognize in your life called to Jesus Christ." And so the walk is related. And that means then that that calling is a picture of the walk. That means that every day, as I begin the day, I hear His voice through His Word. I hear His voice. I step out in obedience to Him. I hear what He says, and I says, Amen, Lord. I say, Amen, Lord. Yes. Every day I start out hearing His voice and agreeing with Him and sensing His power whereby I walk appropriately. Newness of life. Walking worthy. And so, that's what it means to walk worthy. Experiencing every day in my life what happened to me one day in my conversion. My sheep hear my voice. Amen, Lord. I know them. I'm talking to you. He calls you by name, doesn't he? They follow me. Amen, Lord. Today, I'm going to follow you. Today, by your grace, following you. That's what it is. That's walking appropriately. Now, this same truth is explained in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. If you'd like to turn there. 5:14 to 24. 10 verses, 11 verses here. We're going to look at them a little closely. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 to 24. And we have the very same truth here. Beginning of verse 14, Paul's talking again. He says, Now we exhort you, brethren. Same thing. Beseech you, exhort you. We exhort you, brethren. Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. By that time you say, ooh. That is what Paul is exhorting me to. That is what he is beseeching me to do. And you look at that and you say, here we have all of these elements. In fact, I counted them up. There are 12 elements here. We might say these are 12 elements of sanctification. And you look at that list and you say, what a hopeless task. No, rejoice always. Do I rejoice always? Pray without ceasing? Do I pray without ceasing? In everything give thanks. Do not quench. You know, you look at that and you say, this is worse than the Ten Commandments. I can't do this. This is hopeless. God says, great. I was hoping you'd see that. Because then in verse 23, Paul says how this job is going to be done. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. May the God of peace himself sanctify you. God says, did that list throw you? I was hoping it'd put you flat on your back. Because I want you to recognize that although this is the way in which you walk worthy, this is the way in which you walk appropriately, I want you to be reminded of your conversion, that I was the one who called you, and my call gave you that power to come forth to a new life. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. It's the God. It's the power of the same God who called us unto himself that day by day sanctifies us by his grace. So we look at the list because it helps us understand what it means to walk worthy, to walk appropriately. We look at the list and then we turn to him. We say, God, you called me. Now, you do it. And that's what he says in verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will what? Will do it. He commands you to do it, and yet he says, he who calls you will do it. You see how important your calling is? That's why it's so important that we preach the gospel as it is set forth in Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3. Now, why is it so important that we preach just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world? Why is that important? Because unless we see the power of our calling, we will have no power of our walking. So Paul says, "Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it." He called you, and now He will sanctify you. And so walking worthy is an outworking of our calling. That's why it's so important that we preach the calling. Or else there's no outworking. We rejoice in our heavenly calling to salvation, because otherwise we would be swallowed up in the hopelessness of our struggle towards sanctification. So a plaque advertised. This is something you could get to hang on your wall if you wanted to. I hope you don't. "Lord, help me to remember that nothing is going to happen to me today that You and I together can't handle." That's not sanctification, biblically. Sanctification, biblically, is faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, our baptism picture is the same thing. That's why it's so important that we fulfill the biblical command. The word baptizo means to dunk under. And so baptize means to immerse. And this is so important. Because while I have you under the water, you are dead. If you don't believe it, I'll just hold you there a little while longer. You'll find out how dead you are. You are in a place of death. If all I did was sprinkle a few drops of water on your head, you wouldn't feel threatened, would you? I'm going to die. Or even if I took a jug and poured water on you, it might be more uncomfortable, but you wouldn't feel like you were at the point of death. While you're under that water, you're dead. And when you come up, you recognize you've got life again. You have a newness of life. So that's a picture. Now that's a picture of our sanctification also. That means every morning when we get up, we can say, "God, I was under that water." You know, when you're sleeping, that's a picture of death also. Jesus said of Lazarus, "He sleepeth." Not that he wasn't dead, but that's a picture. You get up in the morning, and you come to a new life. You come out of a place of death and into new life. And you remember your baptism and you say, "Lord, I came up out of death into a new life." You remember your calling. "Lord, You called me up out of death into a new life." That's the picture of sanctification, day by day. "Lord, today I'm up out of death into a new life. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Charles Wesley expressed the same thing. Hymn number 259 in verse 4. We've sung this many times, but it's just so appropriate here. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee." That's what every day ought to be for the Christian. every day as we wake up, Lord, I thank you that the dungeon doors are open and the chains are off. And today I hear your voice, I rise up, walk forth, and follow you. That's biblical sanctification, based on the heavenly calling in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Just as we could not be worthy, some of us tried. We tried to be good for so long. And the gooder we thought we were, the more convicted of how far we were falling short. We praise you, Father, that just as we could not be worthy, and in your mercy and grace you called us with that heavenly calling out of darkness into light. So also, Father, we give up. We cannot walk worthy. The harder we try, the worse it gets. But we praise you that day by day, we start out the day with that heavenly calling. And you are faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And day by day you do it by your grace. And so we look at that list of 12 elements of sanctification and our heart sinks. It's hopeless. But we look unto him who called us by his grace and recognize that that grace is sufficient day by day to walk appropriately to the calling wherewith we've been called. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.